A little girl, probably somewhere in the range of maybe about 10 years old, told me the other day, just yesterday, that wearing socks with sandals is the new cool thing to do.
Oh, the new cool thing
to do?
Yeah,
so you're fine. You're ahead.
Hang on. How old was that child?
10, maybe.
10. No. Are they really, 10-year-olds, are they really up on hip and trendy things? Are
definitely
they
at the are forefront they? Of style. I am Ross, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ian. And together, despite the fact that neither of us are, in fact, a tabby cat, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. I'm just assuming that my voice is going to be fine. This has happened to me a couple of times. Usually when I'm about to go live, when I do something like a long-term something, and I think to myself, my voice starts hurting after the first 10 minutes, and I've got like 8 hours to go, but it sorts itself out. It'll be fine. Now, you did say you could hear me just fine. So here's our sound check. Sound check. Where's your levels?
I can hear you just fine. I know we had that weird hiccup, which has never happened before, using, what was it? I don't know, Microsoft thingy. And I don't know what was happening. And I was kind of calling myself. I was in a meeting with myself. I've never done it before. It went really haywire, and I was inviting myself. And then I thought, I'm scared. I want to get out of this room. I felt I was out of my depth, Ross, technically. And I said, please come and help. And you kind of came in there and helped me.
I am glad that we sorted it, because it was starting to sound a bit like a Black Mirror episode, where every time you try to join some sort of call, you're always there, and it's just you, and the call is happening somewhere.
Yeah, some other but there place. You are. I can see you.
I'm here.
In front of your green screen.
And we can hear each other perfectly fine. And most importantly, we are here to drink some beers. Now, I was trying to think of a good way to have a good send off, because you are off next week. So just before we do things next week, you are off to the UK for 2-3 weeks. How many? It's like
a couple of weeks. Couple of weeks.
So I think you'll be gone for two of these at least. And so
three.
I thought, yeah. I was thinking, and that was why I brought up the bourbon soaked, you know, the delightful super basement bourbon, the wee heavy in the bourbon, no, in the rum cask one. I forget the name.
Mm-hmm.
But then I noticed it's good to get rid of some of these, because honestly, they've been in there a while.
And a long time. Two of these have gone. The color of the can seems to have changed. It's been there that long. especially the propeller one. It looks like it's from the 70s now.
It's fine. Looks. I think that was the goal in the first place. But the other trick here, and the one that I'm worried about, is I happen to have them in the same section of my walk-in fridge, just because they all have slightly Germanic names to them. And I'm like, I don't know how to categorize those. Let's go up there. And then I looked them up today, and they're all subsets of a Germanic or Belgian wheat beer. So
perfect.
So that's perfect. Good. And I've got a few things open to try to explain what I'm talking about here, or explain what I think I'm talking about. Where Hefeweizen wheat beer. And then just a wheat beer is a Weiss beer. So you've got a Berliner Weiss. And I think it does say a sour German beer. So I think this one is going to be a little bit different. And then the other complication is we usually go in order of the lowest alcohol percentage up to the highest. And all three are listed at 4.8%. So we have to, there's a lot of decisions to be made tonight.
Why don't we just, if they're all exactly the same strength, we should just get a really big glass, throw them all in together, and have at her.
That is a terrible idea, and we're not going to do
that. Yeah, well, it wouldn't be the first time I've done that, believe me.
Usually you do that later in the show. You're not allowed to do that in the first 5 minutes. So,
I'm talking about in my younger days when I would go around the pub when at 11 o'clock when everyone's left and throw all their leftovers into a glass and try and drink it before I left.
I'm scared to tell certain friends of mine about that. Sometimes we're out of the pub and things like that.
Minesweeping.
Look at all these empty laying around. The Scottish part of me hurts when I see the wasted anything, but especially wasted beer. Like, oh, look at all the wasted beer.
I know. But you're doing a bit for the ecology if you go around and take care of it all rather than it all being poured down in the sink.
I'd probably be coughing out my lungs in a different way had I drank all of the leftover beer that has been available to me. So my route that I was going to go with, we'll start with ye olde Propeller, and look at that. I'm all flipped and backwards. If I try to flip that the wrong way, it's going to make all sorts of mistakes. So I'm not going to bother fixing that. But you're right, it does have some very 70s logo. Look at all of the vines, and it's like a wallpaper, really. But in a traditional can. So from Propeller Brewing Company in Halifax, Nova Scotia, is the white, but the subtitle says Belgian-style wit beer. And here's the first part we're going to learn. So where wheat beer is just something that's made with wheat, whereas beer is mostly malted with barley. Wheat beers are made with an amount, if not a lot of amount, just kind of differing amounts of wheat. Easy enough. Wit beer is just wheat beer, but in Dutch or in Belgium. So one of the others. Lemon. So you've got decent proportion of wheat to that. Wit beers. So wheat beers are not always cloudy. They can be clear, but a wit beer is almost always cloudy. It says they are always cloudy, but I guess we'll find out some other ones. Typically brewed with coriander and citrus or other spices, which complementary flavors to the bready white wheat note. Spices shouldn't be over the top. That's what they're saying for that. Now, on the can, we say by Propeller, kissed by the sun, this Belgian-inspired white beer is brewed with wheat malt, sweet oranges, and fresh coriander. Pouring a cloudy golden yellow, it is smooth, flavorful, and refreshing. So, science and description-wise, that sounds like it's doing what's supposed to happen.
It's Propeller. I don't think they're new to this. They've probably made a batch of wit beer. I think it's wit beer, whatever the hell hell you pronounce it.
Sorry.
I'm pretty sure they've done a number of these down the years. We may have even tried. Oh wow! Look at that! Look at the head on that. I don't know, man. You've got all the you've got all your databases stacked away there. You could probably deny or confirm that we have tried a wit beer or some description or a white beer from Propeller in the past. Seeing as you've been doing this for 4 years, the chances are pretty high.
We have. It's true. And I it's coming down to I think just the fact that these white beers or these wheat beers and the a European, German, Bavarian version of them all have slightly different names. So I think for the longest time I just didn't bother keeping all the different nuances and types in my head.
Also, we have kind of come to the conclusion in the past that we aren't real lovers of the wheat beers, aren't we? And as soon as you take a sniff of that, immediately you recognize that. I've drunk enough of this in Europe myself, and it's an acquired taste. Bready for sure. We've said sometimes that it has a kind of clovey or a bananary as well. We've come up with before, and it does have. They've mentioned coriander there, which I didn't know. In the past, I don't recognize coriander as being in white wheat beers, but certainly clovey and banana-ish. And they haven't always been our favorites. But what I will say is they are a distraction. At least they're a pleasant sort of side. Just something different rather than just lagers and pilsners and cultures, etc. And maybe even pale ales. They're just different.
I wonder if it's like a nerdy thing. Because every the things that I've read so far is people traditionally make beer and you get a barley malt, and because it's apparently easier. Where if you try to make it with a wheat malt, that's really difficult. So this is sort of the scientific. Ooh, I wonder if I can do this with something that's much more difficult to process and do.
All right.
Someone has the
thingy came off.
The thingy came off the top. I put a cork. And a wine bottle for my wife, and she has no use for it.
It's the head is perfect. There's like a finger, maybe a finger and a half of head on it. I took it out of the fridge as soon as I came in. It's actually close to an hour ago now, and they were really cold, and they're not so cold anymore because they've been sat out here in 22 degrees and outside. The head is perfect. It's quite clear, Ross. Cloudy.
You get 100% of the can in?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because at the very end, mine clouded up because I got the sea monkeys at the very bottom in there.
Yeah. That's a term we haven't used for a while, the old sea monkeys. Mm-hmm. Mine doesn't seem to have any, so maybe you've got all my sea monkeys.
Maybe.
Because mine's quite clear.
Are you smelling? This is orange borderline marmalade. I am getting a marmalade smell off of this.
I mean, they did brag about oranges, so you're not imagining that. Yeah, it's subtle, isn't it? It is.
I'm impressed that it's matching the description. Well done.
I'm looking forward to this, actually.
Shall we then? Cheers.
Cheers. Definite orange on the flavor. The first couple of gulps, I was going, and by the way, the first couple of gulps, I was like, I'm refreshing myself because it's been a long, hard day. Mm. But then, yeah, the orange came in the middle and then disappeared at the end. So there isn't an aftertaste of it, but definitely there was a hint of mandarin.
It's up behind my teeth. I'm getting a spice and an orange. I really like that. I don't think I could have imagined this tasting better based on the description. From what it said it was going to do, I thought, I think I know what's going to happen in my mouth, and it nailed it.
I wish I'd had this a little colder now. I wish I hadn't taken it out quite so early.
I think it's kind of the same thing.
I feel I want this colder. And this is me, Ross, talking about doing colder beer these days. Mm. But, of course, it is now summer. It's a summer's evening, so I want my beers to be a little colder. At the risk of freezing all the flavor out, of which this has lots of. It does have a lot of flavor.
It does, and it's quite a good flavor, and it's really easy. I like the body of it. It's very medium bodied. It's not too
very smooth.
Too much of a light. You know, I kind of
would you like some? No.
Sometimes we get a low 4% of a lighter beer, and it's like a light Pilsner or a light wheat beer or anything. Oh, where's the content? Where's the something?
That's right. There's plenty of flavor to it.
Yeah. For a 4.8, that's hidden.
I know.
I like that.
It's not sharp. It's not crisp. It's very, very smooth. Actually, it is a little crisp, but it's the mouthfeel is nice and kind of warm. It's very coating.
Yes, I agree. Mm. Now, I definitely judge Propeller by a slightly different book because of their size, and they've been around a lot. So when they say they're going to do something like that, I don't like to give them any wiggle room. Any you sort of say, no, you're the big boys. You've got lots of money. You've got lots of resources. This needs to be right, and it is right. This is bang on. The bad news and the theme for tonight is, if you go to the website drinkpropeller.ca, white Belgian style wit beer, sold out. So this is not currently available. But if they do bring it back, it does say for the summer, so it might be coming back in the summer.
This is last year's, isn't it? Let me try and read the can. There's normally a date on it. Well, there should be. I think by law there should be, but I can't see one. But I believe that's been in there a good long while. If it's not two years ago, it's certainly been there a year. And it hasn't suffered. It hasn't suffered at all. There's nothing happened to that can whatsoever. Yeah. It's quite delicious.
Phenomenal. It's
a Belgian style wheat wit beer. We used to play a game when I was back in Blighty. Maybe I'll play it again while we're here. And it's a very simplistic game based on Belgium. You may have heard of this. It's a good natured little fun jab at our European cousins, but it's called Five Famous Belgians. And it's fairly self-descriptive. So therefore, you can start.
Hergé?
It's a very short game. Hergé, I like your thinking.
I
like your thinking. Absolutely straight in there with Tintin's writer. Yeah, Hergé. They even told you at the beginning of the episode, didn't they? It was just like, Hergé's Adventures of Tintin. You're absolutely right.
It was as big as the title. Yeah,
right. And then once you get Hergé out of the way, and then you're like, oh, I mean, quite famously, the muscles from Brussels himself, Jean-Claude Van Damme, the name was, the clue was in his nickname, very famously. So that's two. Go on, mate, over to you, while I sup on this really rather delicious Belgian-style wheat beer.
Not Depardieu, he's definitely French.
That's right, he's French.
Jean Renault? No, he's French as
well.
He's
French too.
If it was...
If it was five famous Frenchmen, we could be here all night. But thankfully, five famous Belgians is a very short game, as we've just proved. There are several others.
I need to brush up on famous Belgians.
In fact, weirdly, you can have Audrey Hepburn.
Number one, she's right there. Yeah.
Right, which is really strange because, of course, she speaks with this really unusual, weird mid-Atlantic accent, but she was apparently born and raised in Brussels herself before her move to the States and to Hollywood. What other thing? What's his name? Hercule Poirot, even though he's not actually real.
Ah, see, that's why I didn't think we were getting away with
We shouldn't get away with it. There's a whole bunch of soccer players that you probably never heard of.
There's lots of names here, and I am recognizing three, and they are the three that we've mentioned. Hergé, Van Damme, and Audrey Hepburn. Down near the bottom, I feel like I've heard of Django Reinhardt.
Oh, Django Reinhardt, one of my dad's favorites. Yeah, absolutely. He was a jazz... Gold, absolute famous guy. I forget what he Anyway, Django Reinhardt, yeah, he's from the sort of 20s and 30s era jazz, one of my dad's favorites. But what was I going to say? His name escapes me all of a sudden. I don't know why. Oh, yeah, René Magritte, very famous artiste.
I don't know the name, but he's up there.
Okay. Yep. Oh, Paul Simon sung about him in René and Georgette Magritte with their dog after the war. So that's all of them. That's all the famous Belgians that's ever lived, and we just named them all. We're gonna add one more
because this one I love too much, and it's unfortunate because his first name is Adolf.
Oh, Sax, Mr. Sax,
the inventor.
Of the saxophone.
Of the saxophone is literally
that is right.
Sax.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
When was that? When was the sax invented?
The sax...
Sort of 19th century, mid-19th century, something like that?
It's not an up-to-date picture, that's for sure. Early 1840s. Patenting it in 1846. He also invented the saxotromba, sax horn, and sax tuba.
He was big on his name, wasn't he?
Apparently. He redesigned the bass clarinet in a fashion still used in the 21st century. Well, there you are.
Wow. Born Mr. Sax.
Mr. Sax.
Adolf to his mates. That's good.
Oh. I don't know if I'll remember that. I hope I will. Especially for the next time I have to play five famous Belgians.
If ever there was an occasion where we needed to leave a finger of beer at the end of each glass... We are comparing, finally, oranges with oranges. Almost.
Well, I'm hoping. I'm hoping that a Berliner Weiss doesn't throw us for a complete loop.
Yeah, and it's a raspberry one, so we're not comparing oranges with oranges. We're comparing them with raspberries. But at least is the body and the whole style that we're going with, right? Mm-hmm. But they are, I think, all fruity. The off-track one that you're talking about, I'm intrigued. Not only because I hope it's a fruity one, you're going to tell me that, but I think Off-Track they're one of the demised, aren't they?
They are closed. This is the last of our Off-Track brews, so this is the end of an era. I will give the Propeller definitely high marks. I will give them high into the nines. I think.
Oh, really? High into the mind.
I think so. And I'm okay. It will be fluid later once we drink the rest of these ones, but I think it is definitely deserving of a 9.6.
Luminic. Your marks are ridiculously high for beers.
It's bang on. Ridiculous. It's exactly.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. For a Weiss beer, it's doing what it says on the tin, and I get that. For a beer itself,
it's
marking it myself, Yeah, I would probably give it a 7.5 for a beer. If I'm giving it for a Weiss beer, it's doing exactly what it says on the tin. Yeah, yeah. So why not? 8.75.
I think I'd order another one too.
Yeah, me too.
The population of Belgium is 11.79 million people, which is a third of Canada, approximately, in my mind.
Wow.
So yeah. A third of the population of Canada. Now, if you were to do five famous Canadians,
yeah,
we are a little bit biased, but try to think of an internationally famous Canadians. Now, again, most of ours would be Canadians who moved down to the States. And you probably wouldn't, unless you're Canadian, you wouldn't remember that they're Canadian. You wouldn't remember that John Candy is Canadian, or William Shatner, or Catherine O'Hara, or, yeah.
Yeah, yeah Mr. Back to the Future. I forgot his name for some reason. Anyway, whatever.
Fox?
Yeah. Michael J. Fox. There's a whole bunch of Canadian comedians or people that were on Saturday Night Live down the years that people just assumed until the internet came along that they were all American. I did. Mm-hmm. And they've only become sort of famously Canadian, I think, because of that. Well, that we all now know that a lot of those stars were all the Levies and the Catherine O'Hara's, like you say, are all Canadian. But I think if you were to ask, because I am across the other side of the pond, everyone is going to know, I think, in the world, everyone's going to have heard of sort of some of the big names in Canadian music, and I'm going to say three or four of them straight away. Celine Dion, Alanis Morissette, Bryan Adams, Joni Mitchell, Neil Young, they're all world-renowned, iconic people. So therefore, in the entertainment business, you've got a whole bunch. You couldn't say the same about Belgium.
But do they know that they're Canadian? Like, that's what I mean. Everyone knows these names. Everyone knows the names Ryan Reynolds and Jim Carrey, but do they associate them and do they know them as Canadians? Here's the trick. I want you, while you're over there and you're in the pub with someone who's not Rebecca, I demand that you try to challenge people to five famous Canadians.
That's fun. I'm going to do that with my brother.
Give it a whirl over there and see how that goes. And see
that's
if they
say
things
fun.
Like,
Yeah, he's going to take me for a beer. just one while I'm there. And I think I might just say to his girlfriend, just as an aside, when we've had a couple of beers, I've just recently played five famous Belgians while I'm over there, because she'll know the game. Because I think all Brits have played that at one time or another in the pub, just for a bit of fun. So I'm going to throw it on its head, and I'm going to say, "Go on then, five famous Canadians." But don't think I'm stopping at five famous Belgians this evening.
Oh, okay.
Are we moving on?
We'll save one for our next one. So we got to move on to so Off Track Brewing, which did exist in Bedford, Nova Scotia, up until was it October? Or was it last spring or last summer?
It was last year.
It's got, and it is the Weizen Up Hefeweizen. So a Hefeweizen, as I did sort of kind of mention, I think, what is a Hefeweizen compared to everything? A Hefeweizen translates to a yeast wheat, which means it's characterized by strong presence of banana and clove. This is the banana and clove flavor. But these ones can be clear. Or hazy, is it a Hefeweizen, or even amber? Some examples are of these over here. So there are benefits to brewing with wheat that make the example blah, 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 blah. So a little bit, there doesn't seem to be much difference other than in the name of it. Now, there's nothing written on the bottle, and you can't really go into the establishment anymore. It's fizzing ever so slightly here. Hang on.
Okay.
I'm making a small mess. But the other thing I need to do is change, because I was... Oh, it's actually a 9 locks. Look at that. That's wrong. Whereas there I am. Now I'm off track. That's cool. So I looked it up, and I got a good description off of Untappd, and it said, "This deep, golden-colored German wheat beer brings forward spicy clove, banana, and citrus notes."
So I'm going to ask you to repeat yourself, if I can. So this was what I was expecting, of course, all of them to be, the banana and clove show.
Mm.
But you were saying, oh, yeah, I can smell it straight away, bananas all over it. But the other one you said when you were reading the profile of it, You mentioned they most of them had coriander, which is what this one said it did. So the Belgian styles are noteworthy for their coriander. Is that right? And the German ones are more noteworthy for their clove.
Yes.
Am I getting that right?
I think wit beers are always cloudy, where the Hefeweizens or the wheat beer are can be cloudy or clear. And then I can't tell what makes something just a Weiss, because this you got a Berliner Weiss. So Berliner Weiss versus
while you're doing that
Hefeweizen.
Yeah. Golden, absolutely, 100%. Golden and clear.
Yes.
With a nice head on it. That's a nice-looking pint, is it not? It looks a bit like honey. It's got a honey... oh, look at it. Look at the colour of that, Ross. Can you see that properly?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the same colour as my shirt.
Yep.
It's, of course, golden honey syrupy look to it. And it does have the banana. I'm not smelling the clove, but I know it's in there because they always are.
Okay, well, there you go. A Berliner Weiss is a sour beer, while a Hefeweizen is a non-sour, fruity, and spicy beer.
Interesting.
What?
Well, looking at the can. Oh, I know we haven't done it yet, but the Berliner Weiss can. When I saw it sitting there, I thought to myself, just by the can alone, because we've had enough of them to know, it looks like a sour beer can, does it not?
It certainly does scream its intentions at you just from the color.
It does. Even though it didn't say sour on the side, I thought, it looks like a sour can. I'm scared now.
Well, here you go. I will suggest calling an audible if you like, because when I looked up the vices, the Bohemian raspberry is not available in the LCs at the moment. However, there is another Berliner Weiss beer from Tatamagouche. So do you want to save that one and compare two vices, or do you just want to go ahead and have it?
Ah, mate, this is your show.
And
you do what you want.
And other than the fact that they sound like German names, I'm just curious if there is as much to compare. Oh, the head on this one. Oh, off track. I'm going to miss you guys. It's so good. In my off-track glass that
but
they
smell
got
it.
For me.
Yeah.
Bit spicy. I'm getting more of a wheat flavor off of that, actually. It smells more like a wheat beer. I'm not really getting the banana side of things.
I got the banana. As soon as I poured it, it's dissipated a little bit. But again, some of it's, I guess, the bananas have crawled outside of the glass. Mm. But it immediately I poured it, I got the banana smell. It went right up my hooter.
Oh, okay. Well, cheers.
Chin up. Oh, there's some spices.
There it is. Yep, there's the banana.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, big time.
I was getting more of a spice off of the off the nose, actually, not so much in the actual flavor. Once I got going,
it's quite different. It's quite different from the Vit beer.
That's really smooth and really good.
Yeah,
that's so much better than it has any business because it's been in the closet. They closed last year and it's still sitting there in the closet. And I'm trying to figure out ways of that's cute. Look at that. I've got it. So the bus is driving on the head of the beer there. It's
Isn't beer good? I've just come to that conclusion.
It's been a good 4 years. I think we can admit to it now.
It's good. It's
definitely not too
so
bad.
So much difference in the, we've been really lucky recently. I know we've had a couple of duds, but for the most part, across the broad spectrum, this amazing spectrum of beers that we've kind of sampled. For the most part, I'm talking about over the last few months.
Yeah, no, I have to agree.
Mostly been really big hits.
I think the quality's been going up, and I have felt surprised, because oftentimes I think, Pilsners, I have not always liked Pilsner. And then we had Pilsner night, and we're like, this is delicious, what is going on?
I know.
And I think wheat beers, I think, there's that weird kind of sour flavor to a wheat beer that
absolutely.
I don't really like.
Uh-huh. When you said we were going to do it, I mean, was it last week or the week before you gave up three or four different photographs to me of the different styles and said, let's choose a style. And this one was sitting there, and there's me looking at that thing that looks like a sour can. I'm like, ugh. And then sure enough, you said, let's do it today. And I thought, yeah, what the hell? But at the same time, I was thinking to myself, this isn't going to be great because they're wheat beers and Vic beers, and I don't really love them. These are great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The search for the different types has led all over the place. And honestly, it's what I'd love, and because some of my favorites always seem to end up being an alt beer. And I need to find, I think we need to compare some alt beers, but I don't know that anyone's making any right now. And this came up when I was having a conversation just the other day with one Ian Smith of Tapestry Beer Bar, 833 Sackville Drive. He has been looking to put more, he likes to have a spectrum on the taps, so they go from they're light. All the fruity beers are there, and he likes to have a little bit of a representation of just a couple of dark beers on there. Have a couple of stouts, and he's finding. He says, "I've had the Serial Killer, Big Spruce's Serial Killer oatmeal stout. I've had that on." He considers for too long, and it's good, but he wants to mix it up, have it around there. And I said, but. I mean, if you go around the province and you literally have found the three best stouts and you just have those on, what's the harm in that? He's I want to mix it up. So we were going over what the best stouts were, what stouts you could put on. And he'd driven up. This is where I met him, up here at Horton Ridge, because he was getting a keg of the Bar Dog Stout. And I said, oh, yes, please. Absolutely. So that's excellent. And then I started going over other stouts in the area, like how far are you going to drive? I said, well, if you drove out, the Lund's Mill, if you went out for Caber Crusher, and he said, nope, it's not on in the summertime. I said, ah. And I know down here at Bay of Fundy Brewing, they don't have the what was the Muddy Big Stout. I'm not sure. I think they're going to rename it. That's off for the summer, so no stout in the summer. Port in the Storm Porter, they were on their last drum of that up at sea level up at Millstone there. And they're just kind of finishing off the last keg or two.
So when do they start? I mean, I don't know how far in advance these breweries say, okay, we're now in June, guys. Do they plan like 3 months in advance? I wonder, because of course, right now, I would imagine they're saying, what are we going to throw in our pumpkin spiced ales this year, guys? This would be the time, I'd imagine, where they're really looking at that kind of stuff.
It probably would be if you've got the capacity to make those kinds of things. But
absolutely.
And then a little bit beyond that, they're sort of, right, we're in for the dark beer. So what'll be
the stouts and the porters.
Our winter warmer, we've got a winter warmer and a stout and a porter. I've been quite lucky because usually when I start up with the wine bus and driving around and going up to Millstone on a regular basis, and I go there first things first, early in the season, I go in and I say, do you have the dark one? Oh, no, we're all out of the dark one. This year, it lasted a little longer. I have had several pints of the Port in the Storm Porter on my weekends up there, which I'm quite happy about.
Well, you seem to chat with Ian Smith once or twice from Sackville Drive. I'm going to get that number eventually. When the more you say it, I will know it. It's got an 8 in it. Why don't you ask him the next time, just out of curiosity? Look, mate, typically, when do people start brewing their stouts? And when do they start throwing them at the markets and filling the NLCs? I forgot what they're called. The liquor stores. The NLCs. I don't know where I was going.
Oh.
NSLCs with these darker ales, because like you said, they're not exactly running off the shelves at the moment.
Well, I would think, why not? Why aren't they? But in local, current, up-to-date news, have you heard the occasional drippage on the news? So they drop a soundbite about voting and deciding on whether or not all convenience stores and food places everywhere should be able to sell alcohol and beer beverages and whatnot.
I have not heard that. It's something I've wondered for donkey's years why grocery stores don't, but I just assumed. If you're telling, by the way, I've what you said there, this is the first time I've heard of it. For the last 15 seconds, it's the first time I've ever heard of it. But as you probably are aware, in many, many other countries, you can just walk down the aisle and pick up a loaf of bread here and a pint of milk there, some cheese and then all your other stuff, and then go down the liquor aisle and think, what am I going to get for tonight for a couple of beers? But I understood it. I understood that the Nova Scotia's government like many of the provincial governments, like to keep a very tight rein on the liquor because of the taxes involved, and they want to be able to basically control how much the beers are sold at by as a result. So I didn't think they would ever even contemplate giving it up to the grocery stores. Are you telling me different?
I am. Here is the short version. Groups begin lobbying the NS government over potential booze sale change. Consultation runs until the end of June on whether to expand the sales point. So provincial government launches consultation on whether to expand sales points for alcohol in Nova Scotia. Interested parties. Interested parties are waiting for what? It's organizations on both sides of the issue started issuing news releases, open letters, lots of opinions and stuff going on. And much like, I don't know if you were in the country or in the province when Sunday shopping was a huge argument. Nova Scotia, again, last to the table with the Sunday shopping. And we also, and all of the naysayers, it feels like the exact same group and the exact same argument of
arguments.
Well, why would you want to shop on a Sunday anyway? Why would you need a liquor store that's closer than the NSLCs? They're already everywhere. You shouldn't be able to do this. And then all of the, why doesn't anyone think about the children? Because then there's alcohol where children are and things like that. And I thought, I don't know if I'm just kind of in Rinky Dink Valley, but it already is. There's a store up that way. There's a store, you know, down New Ross Way. There's that delightful one out in the middle of nowhere that I highly enjoy. And they've just got a little NSLC adjunct in there. And it's open outside of NSLC hours. These are the only ones that you could already go, because I know the NSLC outlets, the actual buildings, they are locked, closed, done, cannot get in there on a Sunday. But these little kiosk slips next to, didn't I send you up to the Canning one? What did you think of that?
You sent me up to Canning only last week. It's the first time I've ever set foot into that little grocery store up in Canning.
Walk but me then, through your interpretations.
Well, I would have imagined. I would imagine that the reason why that these places do operate independently of the liquor store hours is, I'm guessing, it's because of remoteness, or surely there's got to be some kind of distance involved, because you couldn't have the liquor store in Canning right next door to it, and then this little independent grocery store selling liquor as well. I don't think that would work, would it? So I would imagine there's some, we're talking about distances involved. I know that Canning isn't exactly the end of the earth from New Minas. It's what, a 20-minute, 15-minute drive, maybe 20 minutes maximum?
Well, yeah, 20, 25 maybe.
Is it that far? Good grief. But there's got to be a distance involved, I'm sure. But like you say, they do exist. Therefore, if they do exist, then it can't just be that the government is keeping, as I was assuming, a very tight hold on all the pricings of the liquor that's being sold in its stores. But my big question was this: is the Canning store and the one that you mentioned now on, is it on the 12 or is it on the 10? I can't remember. On the way to Chester, that one up there.
Well, there's one in New Ross. Do you mean that one, or do you mean the New Ross one?
That's right, New Ross. I beg your pardon. Are they allowed to sell the liquor at the same can of beer at a different price than the NSLC? I wonder. Because do they have some kind of arrangement whereby they can go and buy an X number of beers from the breweries, for instance, and therefore the brewery would say, "All right, if you're going to take a whole number of these off our hands, we'll give you a slight a little bit of relief on them, and therefore you can sell them slightly lower as a result, or slightly cheaper as a result." I don't know, but it's interesting to know how that works.
I think that is part of it, and that's going to be part of where the consultation and the arrangement comes out to, where I don't think that they're going to open it up to, let's say I've got a little store or a kiosk that's selling shoes up here, really close to the Brig and Bark Tap Room and Bay of Fundy Brewing, and they say, oh, I'm just going to walk over to Bay of Fundy, and I'm going to say, hi there, we're now allowed to sell alcohol, so can you give me several cases of your beer and I'll sell them? I think that's what the NSLC is going to stop. So I think the stores, these actual stores, retail stores, are going to have to buy from the NSLC.
Okay.
I think that might be how they arrange it. And I don't think that will be as successful. So that's going to be one of these things of, we asked the public and we implemented it and no one liked what we did, so we're never talking about it again kind of situation. Is that kind of, you know, we did it wrong and no one liked it, so don't ask me ever again.
Is that because, okay, so it's coming up as an issue because enough people have been banging their fists on the table and put it to people that said, look, can we try and move forward with this? Because it does seem, I got to admit, Ross, it does seem a bit arcane for the liquor stores to be, or the government to be so holding on so tightly to what is effectively, you know, low-level alcohol. We've come a long way, by the way, since the sort of since the prohibition days of the 1800s.
That's true.
In fact, the early 20th century, even in here in Kentville, there was still that crap going on. We've come a long way since then, and I know we are still in an area which is still considered in the valley here. We are still considered. I hesitate to use the word the Bible Belt because it's not that far.
It's not exactly Southern Baptist, but it's pretty
absolutely
Baptist.
Absolutely. But there is still a certain feeling among an older generation, say, that's more traditional, that still the churchgoers, let's call it what it is, that still do have pretty strong feelings about the evils of the demon beer.
Yep.
And the demon rum. And as a result, that they are the people that I'd imagine would be saying, we don't want this. We don't want to have more access to alcohol. There's enough of it.
Well,
thank you very much.
I remember the Sunday shopping and everyone saying that the earth was going to open up and swallow us whole if we allowed Sunday shopping. And we're all pointing and saying, we're the only province that stores can't open, you know, big stores can't open on Sundays. And the gas stations are already open. And they would say, see, anything you need on a Sunday, you should be able to just go up to the gas station. You can get that. The little stores are open. Yeah. Why do you need to go to Zellers, to Sears on a Sunday? And you shouldn't need to, was always the part of that. That was a complaint.
I don't know when it happened around here or in Nova Scotia, but that was still a thing, by the way. Growing up in the UK as I did, I mean, I remember it was quite a big thing. I think it must have been maybe the early 80s, something like that, as recently as that, maybe 40 years ago, when Sunday trading became a thing. No, there was still, every place was shut on Sundays apart from the really important or emergency places. Absolutely. There was Sunday trading that caused a big cultural shift in the UK as well. Like I say, it can't be any more than 40 years ago. And then, of course, if you go to a country where places aren't open almost 24/7, you think, what kind of a backwards country is this, you know? Because we've just become so used to having everything accessible all the time. And that includes, by the way, I got to say, in the UK, People would say to me, would think, really, you can't go into your local Tesco's or Sainsbury's out there or equivalent. You can't go into the superstore, just walk down the aisle and pick up a couple of cans of cider for the evening. And I'm like, no, you cannot do that. You have to go to an off license or equivalent here. And I got to admit, it does seem a little bit backward. But then again, of course, I'm not of the generation or culturally or even brought up here. So therefore, my thoughts on it will be somewhat different from many people.
You mentioned the 1980s in Britain, and I have looked it up. And Nova Scotia's Sunday shopping is embarrassingly more recent than that. I thought it was before this, but this is, oh my goodness, this is bad.
It's not bad. What is it?
When did they finally say legislate and allow Sunday shopping?
20 years ago?
Nearly. 2006.
Oh, blimey, 19 years ago. I arrived here, Ross, in 2008. So I was waiting to be able to shop on a Sunday before I'm not even considering emigrating until Nova Scotia.
You were reading the Nova Scotia newspapers every morning. You got them delivered to your address in the UK. It's like, not right. yet. Ooh.
All right. We can go now. Yep, they've passed. Do me a favor. Look up when the UK passed, please. I would do, but if I did that, my phone would just go, I'm not opening up two
Sunday
tabs at once.
Shopping. The Sunday Trading Act, 1994.
Oh, so it's only 30 years ago. That's still pretty...
1994 is a bit more of a respectable kind of, you know what, maybe we should stop being such stick-in-the-muds about everything. 2006, that's the 21st century. The millennium had come and gone. Daft Punk was going about wearing futuristic helmets, and there was laser light shows and rave music, and they were still saying, oh, can I go and buy, some Tylenol on a Sunday? Nope.
I kind of laugh at the New Brunswickers when you're traveling to Quebec, or the people that live near the border, and they're like, we can't just nip into a store here and get our liquor because it's all the liquor stores are closed. Why don't we just pop over the border into Quebec, in 2 kilometers over the border there, come to the first gas station and go and get all our Colt 45s for like $6 from Quebec instead. Well,
there's a question. What's the first place? Because I've driven through New Brunswick and into Quebec a couple of times now, and you get up there to Edmonton, and Edmonton's right there on the border. But when you go across,
a few miles
to go, the town is Dégalès. Dégalès? Dégalis? Yeah, and so once you're into Dégalis, can you buy
your liquor
there?
In the gas station? I'll fill her up, and I'll get me 10% faxes while I'm there as well. Just throw those in the glove compartment for the journey.
I can't seem to find any gas stations around the area, but that's fine. Are we going to try? And what A, B, well, yeah, A, are we going to try, and B, what do we think? So what do we think of the off track? That was really good again. It's so good.
It's very different.
Well,
it is
different than a Hefeweizen, and we've learned
that. I was expecting like for like. When I said earlier on, I think we're comparing oranges for oranges. I think maybe we're not. They look different. They taste different. They've got a different mouthfeel. One is slightly cloudier, but only just. The other one's very clear. One is golden. One is very light, straw-coloured. They're both delicious. The Hefeweizen by Off Track, even though, of course, it's no longer available. I love it. It's, to me, just a smidgen higher, maybe 8.7.
Okay. I don't know why I put it. I don't know why I put it lower, but I think it's because I prefer the orange flavor to the banana flavor. So I think personally, I like the orangey marmalade to the banana, and I'm not the advertising clove, and I feel like there's not as much clove in there.
There's not as much spice in there for you. Needed a bit.
That was advertised. I think they did say a little bit of advertise. The problem here is I can't find
it. You could smell it, but you couldn't necessarily taste it.
Oh, you could definitely smell it. It was all there.
Yeah, yeah. You've asked a big question, mate. There was another can of beer sitting there saying, drink me, rather like Alice in Wonderland. But also, you did raise a really good question. Do you want to compare it with another Berliner Weiss? I'd understand it if you said, let's put that one on the back burner. At the same time, I'm thinking, oh, it does look, I'm really intrigued. Make a call, because I can't stand the suspense.
Well,
I'm going to fall off the bench.
We'll crack it open.
Oh, you've done it now. I heard it.
And then we'll try the Tatamagush one in the future, and we'll try our best to remember how this one tasted. So Nine Locks Brewing Company has the Bohemian Raspberry. Sorry, I'm always going to get that wrong. The ingredients just say, they begin, Mama just killed a man.
Yes, indeed.
Put a gun up to his head. Here we go. So tart and refreshing, this sour green German beer is loaded with ripe raspberries, hazy pink with an aroma of fresh fruit and bright acidity. Flavors of jammy raspberry and white wheat bread pairs especially well with summer salad, steamed mussels, and light cheeses.
Carry on, carry on.
Because nothing really matters. Hazy pink. This is, yeah, this that was apples to apples. This is our orange for the night. That is for certain. So I have to learn my Bavarian German words. I have to learn the difference between Berliner Weiss and a Belgian Witbier. Weiss is le pink.
And
oh my god.
Yeah, yes. Fruity?
Wow.
Fruity?
And we go through this. I mean, we live in the land of fresh produce, fresh berries, fresh everything. We can tell. We can tell when something isn't a fresh berry, when it's artificially flavored. You can tell. This doesn't smell artificially done. This smells like you really chucked in a lot of raspberries that you just grew out back.
You know, I said the can looks like a sour. It's pouring like a sour. It's got a big frothy head like a sour. It just looks, for all intents and purposes, like a sour beer, even though it doesn't say in big bold letters on the front of the can, emergency warning, this is a sour beer. So is this a sour beer, Ross?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it says it in tiny letters on the back. But what you're supposed to know, what we're supposed to know, being mildly experienced beer drinkers, is that when something says a Berliner Weiss, that's basically German for you are going to pucker your mouth very soon.
I see. Okie dokie.
In fact.
Right. Okay. Pairs especially well with summer salads, steamed mussels, and light cheeses, and hopefully other beers, because that's what we've just had. And I've got no peanuts this evening. I ran out of peanuts. I've got no food to pair this with whatsoever. So I'm pairing it with a Belgian style Witbier and a German Weiss beer. We'll see. It smells like a fruit sour. I'm not entirely confident I'm going to enjoy this like I did the other two.
No.
And it's nine locks. What it does have going for it, on the plus side, but without even putting it to my lips, it's nine locks. So if anyone is going to say, Ian, I know this is a sour, but we are nine locks, and you normally really dig our beers. I will bring us back. I'll refer once more to the craziness of the Two Crows, that wacky sour beer we had, where we were like, yes. the milkshake sour. We're like, this is no right to be as wonderful as it was. So I'll reserve judgment, although this might be heading down the drain. Afterwards, at least you've got Brittany to help you.
I can give it to her, and hopefully she'll enjoy. She's upstairs enjoying some white wine at the moment. Are you all? Are we all ready?
As ready as I'm going to be. Okay, cheers. Yeah, it's full on. It's a full on sour. It's a full on sour. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
it's raspberry.
It's raspberry. It's raspberry.
Raspberry. It is.
It's one. 100% raspberries. Mm. Yep.
Well done. They squeezed all the raspberries into that. What else? What else in my song?
It took a while, actually, for that little bit. I mean, you did it straight for you straight away. It took a while for me to do that thing where I finally went, but it was right at the end, about 8 or 9 seconds after I swallowed it. Yeah.
My mouth is watering after the fact. It's still
and you're.
I need to add saliva to this situation.
And your teeth?
Oh, they'll
Their
hurt.
teeth?
Oh, I couldn't finish that. They would hurt. All right. No, it's very smooth. There's no bitterness off the back end. Nothing uncomfortable outside of the puckerage of the.
Yeah. It's a full-on sour, isn't
Yep,
it?
there's that.
Okay. It
Well,
really should. It should have warning signs on this can. It
Berliner
should have told
Weiss.
me.
Let's see if we can maintain. I'm not going to remember that, am I? I mean, we drink enough beer that I'm not going to remember the difference between a Berliner Weiss and a Belgian style Witbier. And I don't know what's wrong with me that I can't separate those in my cranial.
Cavity?
Thank you.
Okay.
Because there's obviously nothing being held in the cranial cavity.
The Bohemian Raspberry Berliner Weiss just put paid to the rest of it. Whatever remnants you had rocking around in
All it's going to do is push out more Queen lyrics. That's the problem. They're all just going to fall out the other end, and it's going to sound like, I want to ride my bicycle. And they're just gone. Definitely in that
What's
voice.
a, if you had to pick. You know, we went through Radiohead and we're like, oh, we love it, a Radiohead. Well, Radiohead, there's no denying it. I'm pretty sure that Tom York, if someone put a gun to his head and said, do you like Queen? of course he'd love Queen.
I would hope so.
If no, 100%. What's your favorite famous Queen song?
It probably is the Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean,
Isn't it funny?
I have found, and it's been that way since I was, 16, 17, and Wayne's World came out and it made it famous. And there was all the other songs that were on. I have found myself. I know a lot of people that really like the how does that one go?
Is it from the same era? Mid-70s?
I assume so. Everyone sang the "We Will Rock You"
Yeah.
and "We Are the Champions," and I thought
We are
that
the champions.
these are okay, but
They're classic. They are classic.
the "Ride My Bicycle" came up one summer because it was used as the theme song for a contest on the classic rock radio about it was what do they call it, a bike a day in May or something like that, and they would give away a
Okay,
bike every
yeah,
day.
it's vaguely familiar.
I have come around to really enjoying Radio Gaga for some reason.
Oh, really? I
I
loved it back in
don't
the day in
know
'84,
why.
the Works album. It's a fantastic album. Radio Gaga was their real big breakthrough again after they'd sort of gone away for a little while, and Freddie Mercury got back with Queen after he did the solo thing. So they really had a good big comeback. I absolutely adore the whole "Somebody to Love." The whole their vocals together is just soaringly good,
You're
and
right.
and "Don't Stop Me Now" is just balls out one of the greatest songs.
I
It's
know
so good.
I had a lot of I would have a lot, that was the one I was trying to think of, because I was trying to think of the having a
Oh,
good time, having a good time. But it
right.
was so, and I feel like I would have friends who would say that "Don't Stop Me Now" was their favorite one, but I have to be
What?
pretty basic and love the Bohemian Rhapsody just for the.
And the reason why you love this and love it so much, and I don't think I've never met someone, by the way. We have had this question. I think I might ask my brother's girlfriend as well after we've finished playing Five Famous Belgians. Do you like Bohemian Rhapsody? Because I've never met anyone that says, no, I don't really care for that song very much. Everyone, and the weirdness about it is it's 50 years old now. It's 75 that came out in Night of the Opera.
Older than Sunday shopping in either of our countries.
Absolutely. The thing is, have you ever known a song that you know so well, you've heard a million times, and yet, as soon as you hear it come on, either on Valley Radio or whatever, wherever you are, you don't go, oh God, I'm sick of that song. You go, yes, Bohemian Rhapsody. And you look every single time I hear those opening bars, it's like, oh yes, Bohemian Rhapsody. It's like a that again. And there's no, I don't think there's another song where I've listened to, apart from John Lennon's Imagine, where I don't think, I did love that song, but I'm a little bit tired of it now. I will never, ever tire of Bohemian Rhapsody. It's
The
so good.
only thing that comes close, And again, it's got to go back to Radiohead, and it's Paranoid Android.
Oh, Paranoid, which
I
is a very similar.
Get sick, and it changes a couple of times. It's a bit complicated.
Absolutely.
And...
four times it will change. That's right. Oh, well, three or four distinct, and they're about the same length.
Hmm.
6.5 minutes long. They're and most people would say that's not a radio song. But both times the bands went up yours. This is what we're releasing as a single. Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny? And they're both very, very well respected. Ross,
yep.
If we played Five Famous Belgians, I'm not gonna bother with Five Famous Germans because obviously there's a million of them, and there's one very famous one springs to mind,
yeah.
Whose name is not Adolf Sachs,
nope.
But
David Hasselhoff.
But Bohemian Rhapsody, Raspberry.
Yeah.
Bohemia, of course, is quite famously in. The Czech Republic, Prague is in Bohemia.
Okay.
Therefore, name me. This will be even shorter than Five Famous Belgians. Five Famous Czechs.
Well, if I knew my hockey a bit better, I'd probably be able to name 16.
The same would go for soccer in Belgium. They've just had a golden era of soccer players come along, but you can't name any of those. So, taking out the Czech hockey team, no, I don't mean take them out. Like, you know, sort of. I'm not giving you a gun and sort of. Any famous Czechs that spring to mind?
None, but
none.
In looking it up, I've heard of several of these.
You probably don't realize some of these people are Czech without. No, that's right.
Martina
because they're sort of
Eastern. Didn't realize
very
that.
Famously.
Dvorak.
Yeah, very famous. Dvorak was Czech. Oh, Vaclav Havel. It's get off of me, please.
Franz Kafka.
Kafka. Yeah.
Ivana Trump.
Ivana Trump, his first wife, by all accounts.
My.
Yes. I knew, right?
The man does not buy local, does he?
Ironically, no. Isn't that something?
And Jaromir Jagr is the only famous hockey player. So I thought there would be more
okay.
of those, but apparently not.
I'm doing quite well on the sour. Surprisingly, I'm not loving it, but it's going down.
I'm going to move back to the other two. In fact, I'm going to have my last gulp of the off track.
Oh, the off track. Oh,
and
yeah,
I think
that
I'm
one.
I'm gonna finish with the propeller and call it done. Oh, I forgot to turn on. I'm missing lighting. How could you not tell?
Oh, that's no problem. can you mark the Bohemian Raspberry, or is it markable? It's not remarkable. Is it markable
for a sour? Strong flavors. It's the right amount of sour. I feel so. I think that's good marks for a sour. Again,
yeah.
Top eights, low nines.
It says raspberry. Can you taste raspberry, mate?
Sure can, man.
Yes, sure can.
Just about everything on the can, except it does say something that I didn't catch. Where was it? Jam flavors of jammy raspberry and white wheat bread.
Okay, I got a raspberry aid. I got a raspberry Kool-Aid is what I got by the barrel full. Nothing else. The raspberry smacked me in the face. The sourness of it smashed me to pieces. It did 100% what it was supposed to do. So for a sour beer, and I still can't believe I'm calling it beer. So I know we've read this, that sours are some of the earliest produced beers in Europe. But I still don't want to call it a beer. It's doing exactly what people want that like sour beers.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore... for a sour beer, 9 out of 10. It's not to me. I can't remember the exact fruity flavor of the Pucker Up. The very first sour beer I ever tried was the Pucker Up. I didn't even know it was going to be like it was, and it's got that kind of feel to me. Although because it's now a few years ago, I think my flavors, my appreciation for different kinds of beers has gone up. I can now say, okay, that's probably one of the better sours I've tried. I will say that. I recognize that, even though it's still not for me.
Yep.
It's one of the better sours that I've tried.
Because we can
8 out of 10. Yeah, absolutely. I'm still never going to want it. I'm never, ever going to ask for it.
Nope.
But 8 out of 10.
Ooh, what kind what of was sours the... have you got? Oh, boy.
Yes, please. Give me a... if you walked into any of these microbreweries and said, I'd like a flight of your best sours, please.
I forgot
it's never going to happen.
I don't know if you watched, but the night I was down talking to Ian Smith, Tapestry Beer Bar, 833 Sackville Drive, and he, and because he wanted me to try the Pliny the Elder.
It was fine.
It was, you know, perfectly rather drinkable IPA. I went, yeah, all right. And then he had a flight for me of what he had is summer fare.
Uh-huh. And
I think 3 out of 4 of them were sours.
Oh, okay. Tis the season. There's no getting away from
season,
it.
But I was trying them thinking to myself, oh, I think Ian's glad he's not here.
But Ian, I don't think Ian likes sours, does he?
I mean, he appreciates, he has a pretty wide spectrum of beer drinking.
Okay.
We talk about wine as well. He's apparently become a wine drinker. And I think, how do you balance all that? Because I got no
this
time for
class.
Wine anymore now that I've sort of really hunkered down into the beer curiosities and exploration.
You've come a long way since... The Garris. No, it wasn't. It was the Rickard's Red. You come a long way. This is the off-track vice, but you got back to it just now, didn't you?
I got back
I'm going
to
finish
it. Yep. And I still think the Propeller White just edges it out. I think it, for me, it edges out the off-track, even though that is amazing. It's delicious.
It's isn't good. It funny, after the sourness and the raspberry hit, going back to the vice beer, it's like, you said you didn't get much banana. I get so much banana from it after going back from the raspberry.
The funny thing is, I feel like, do we need to start having like a case of sour beers on hand in order to cleanse our palate and make us appreciate?
Ross, no, we don't.
A hazy IPA would go down so well right now after that sour. I'm like, I don't want to touch it. I don't know what to do with this thing.
And finally, back all the way to the beginning of the evening, I'm going to finish with the Belgian style.
I'm still... I think that's my choice.
Mm. It is fabulous, isn't it?
So good.
It is fabulous.
I hope they bring it back for another summer. I should expect to see it, unless they're working on some refreshing sour themselves. But nope, I think if you're on a porch and you're drinking that, oh, would you have another sir? Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely, I'd have another one of those, please.
I'm so glad we actually did those now, because I wasn't sure at the beginning, because I thought, oh, this isn't going to be a great evening. It has been, and it's a gorgeous evening, and I could sit out here all evening. However, the mosquitoes are vengeful right now, so I'm going to bid my fair. Yeah, good night.
The little
I'm
bit
out
of the breeze would help. In fact, I'm a little jealous. I should be out on the porch right now as well. But we are here every week, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. ish on both sides of things. You can find our podcast in all the podcasty places. You can check out our YouTube page at youtube.com/@drinknsdry. We're on the Instagrams and the TikToks and the YouTube shorts with all the smaller versions, and I chop it up and edit it up, and I'm trying to get a bit better at that, get back into the swing. And yeah, live here on the YouTube page once a week. So I want to thank Propeller and Nine Longs and Off Track. I'm sad to see you be gone, but thank you for making this delicious beer that we got to try tonight. Thank you, Ian, for joining me tonight. So we will see you next week. Good night.